morning, everybody. Continuing where we left off, we were discussing about what can you say to a goy in cases of refuah. So the main discussion we had until now was regarding echoli sheish v'sakana, and we pointed out obviously that the first choice should be a yid should do the necessary treatment for a echoli sheish v'sakana. We shouldn't delay or give people the impression that you have to get a goy, hafuch. We don't want people to think that way, that for a choyle sheesh v'sakana you have to get a goy, because they might misunderstand it, and then in the future they might delay because they're going to look for a goy and something chashon can happen. But that is all when there's sakana. When you deal with a choyle sheein bo sakana, so then we have different rules. So as we've said before, choyle sheein bo sakana is someone who has an illness to the effect that he has to lie down, or that it is radiating across his whole body. He feels it all over, not just localized, or there is danger to a limb, and then he's considered as a chole shem b'sakana. In such cases, a yid can treat such a patient as long as he doesn't do doraisis, and preferably should do donadei shinoi, but the rabbanon he can do. And now the question is, what can a goy do? So, legabe echoyle she'en v'sakana, amiru la'akum is permitted. You can get a goy to do whatever is necessary. Since he's echoyle she'en v'sakana, you can even get a goy to do something which would be an isodoraisa. So if it would mean to turn on, to boil some water for the sake of for the echoyle, which is bishul, then could be other melachos involved as well, but for sure there's an isodoraisa in making hot water, so you can get a goy to do it, if it's necessary for the Chol Hashem B'Sakana. We also said that for a Chol Hashem B'Sakana, you can get a goy to do something which, even if it's not urgent, as long as it's necessary for today, because like we said with the Chol Hashem B'Sakana, a yid can only do something that's urgent. Something that can be pushed off, legabe a yid, we push it off. Legabe a goy, if it's necessary, but it's not urgent, you can still ask a goy to do it. So you have, for example, if someone has a broken bone and or a fracture, and they want to take an X-ray and they want to put on a cast, so all that can be done by a goy, even though it possibly could be pushed off a couple of hours. But if the goy is available now to do it, and this is when he wants to do it, we don't stop the goy. He can get the goy to do it, because because if you're dealing with a tap or break, that is chole she'en b'sakana. Usually, that's the definition of a break. You've got a sakonas eiver. Sometimes a break can go even further. It can become a sakonas nefashos. If it's deep, big, or very exposed, or there's a piece of bone sticking out, then it can be a case of sakonas nefashos. But otherwise, every broken bone is a sakonas eiver, and therefore every broken bone is considered, that patient is considered a chole she'en b'sakana, and therefore amir la'akum is mutter, and therefore you can get a goy to do x-rays and put on a cast. More examples are if a person has very extreme stomach pains, in other words, it's to the extent that he is considered a chole she'en b'sakana, and the doctor says that you need a warm pad in order to put on his abdomen. So if that means that you have an electric pillow, so a yid cannot plug it in, because if we're dealing with a chole that is aimed by sakana, then yid cannot plug in such a pillow. He cannot adjust it. He cannot do anything about it. But you can ask a goy to do it. You can ask a goy to plug it in, to switch it on. You can get a goy to change the settings, to make it warmer, to make it hotter, as need be, even as the day goes on and the needs change. You can get a goy to do it. A yid may not plug it in, nor may he adjust the temperature. And therefore, if such a pillow needs to be used, a pillow or blanket, electric blanket, needs to be used on Shabbos, if you can, you should try cover up the knob that does the adjustment so that he doesn't inadvertently come to change it himself. If it's on and the patient needs it to be moved, a yid can move it from place to place. Then we have another rule, Chazal tell us, HaKol Cholim Etzel Hatzina. When it comes to cold, extreme cold, everybody is considered susceptible, and therefore considered, we put them into the category of a Chol Hashem V'Sakana when it comes to extreme cold, because it can lead to illness, and therefore, this was a common thing in Europe, that they didn't have central heating on a time switch or on a thermostat. You had a fireplace, and you made a nice big roaring fire on Friday afternoon, but by Shabbos morning there wasn't much of a fire left, and it was still 6 foot of snow outside, and temperatures were in the minus. So what did you do? So they had, it was very common in towns that you had a Shabbos goy who went around from house to house lighting the fires, because that is mutter, because in such extreme cold that is necessary, and we treat the yid, we treat the people as choy l'shem v'sakana when it comes to extreme cold, which allows us to have a amir la'akum, and then we can get a goy to come in and light the fire. There was, this is in Europe, in pre-electricity days, that was very common, and it was standard. It's all discussed in halacha quite extensively as to what happens if the weather's warmed up a bit, but the goy comes in to light the fire, because this is what she does from October to March. And now there happens to be one warm weekend, so she doesn't think that, oh, today I don't need to come in, it's a little bit warmer, what do you do? So there's a shyness that they had to deal with in the olden days. It depends on if she was paid for it and how she was asked to come, and etc. There are other shynesses, in if your chalent was on the stove, and as we said, the fire in the oven was nice and roaring on Friday afternoon, but by Shabbos morning there's not much of a fire left, and as chalent is getting cold, can you put the chalent now onto the fireplace where the goy is going to come in and make a fire for Shabbos? The answer is you can't, but she can, if she does it before she makes the fire, and it's a psikresh al de akum, and the chalent can be reheated like that, and therefore it was common that the goy who would come into the house would take the chalent and take it from the kitchen and put it onto the tanur beis hachoref. It wasn't a fireplace as we imagine it to be, with an open fire and a chimney. It was rather a closed, looked more like an oven, but it didn't have an inside for baking. It just had an inside for coal. It was obviously connected to a chimney, otherwise it'd smoke itself out. And then there would, on top of it, you could put a pot, and that pot would get warm, and you'd have something to warm to eat on Shabbos. So we see that this was very common, and had a lot of side shilas involved in it as well, which is not our issue right now, just mentioning it. But this is the rule, hakol chayde meitzatzina. That means even bizmaneinu, where we do have electricity and time switches and central heating and all the rest, but if for whatever reason you're dealing with a case where it got extremely cold and you weren't prepared, or even if you were prepared but wasn't sufficiently prepared, so when it is extremely cold, you may go get a goy to do something in order to make your house warmer, whether it's turn on the heat or make a fire or turn on the air conditioning, whatever the case may be. Hakol chayde meitzatzina. Now this is an extreme cold, which here for us in Eretz Yisrael is rare. But we don't say the halacha doesn't apply. The halacha does apply, because different people at different ages have different sensitivities to cold. So you have different people and you have different ages, and therefore, if you have children in the house or you have the elderly in the house, then the halacha changes, because they are more sensitive, and it can affect them more negatively if we don't turn on the heat. And therefore, if there are children in the house and it's cold, it doesn't have to be minus 40, it can be minus 4. And that's enough to go get a goy in. Now, why did I say minus 40? Minus 4 was just for the sake of putting a number to it, but obviously they're not giving a guideline that until it's minus 40, you can't call a goy. And at minus 4, you call for a child. Obviously, the case is as on a need basis, you deal with it, depending what type of home, if the home is insulated, if there's walls, if there's the heat in the house, if there's another place to go to. But if it's cold and the children are suffering and the eter is to turn on the heat and you have a goy available, then you make all the goy to turn on the heat in such a case. Sometimes you can have a power cut and the air conditioning goes off, and when the power comes on again, the air conditioning doesn't come on again, it gets stuck, it gets caught in off position. Something like that could happen. So then in such a case, if you've got young children or the elderly in the house, and it's important, you go get a goy to turn on the heating system again. The same applies in the converse. It's a little bit more complicated, but generally we say the converse applies as well, and therefore it is very hot, and the people suffering from the heat, we're not just talking about being uncomfortable and a little bit of excess perspiration, so just drink a little bit more and, you know, roll up your sleeves and don't run around too much and you'll be fine. We're talking about when it's really hot and people are suffering, it's suffering a lot, And again, this is also very subjective. Different people react different ways to the heat and the dryness or whatever. And therefore, but if a person is mitzta'er harbe, he's suffering a lot, or as you said, it's elderly who are more sensitive to the extreme temperatures, or there's children who are sensitive to the extreme temperatures, then you can go get a goy to turn on something that will alleviate the problem, whether it be a fan, a cooler, or an air conditioner. And it also applies if the air conditioner was set on too high, or the weather changed, and therefore the air conditioner makes the house too cold. So again, we try aters. You try open the windows and let the heat in, and it balances out the air conditioning. It might force it to work stronger, depending on the case, how strong the air conditioning is, how it will be affected by it. But if you have a way out, you can open the window and let warmth in, or you can go sit on the balcony for a few minutes and come back in the house and go out and come back in. If that's a possibility, then you can't do Amir al-Akam. But if it's not a possibility, you can't go to a neighbor, you don't have another place to go, you don't have another room in the house that is more pleasant and takes away this issue, then again, you can go get a goy, so not only to turn on the air conditioner, also to turn it off if the need arises as such. If a person needs a prescription, and therefore writing needs to be done in order to get that prescription, if you're dealing with a chole she'ein bo sakana, then you can get a goy to write a prescription. Interesting. If the goy doesn't have, let us say, he doesn't have a pen, he's going to write it by hand. And you do have a pen. I was like, when I was looking at the salacha, I was like, how do you get such a case? But I was thinking about it. You have, I can't see it happening with a doctor, but you have it like in the Kabbalah of the Miyun. So the secretary sits behind a glass, but she's behind the glass, and she does her work from behind the glass, and you're in the front of the glass. And very often they'll put a pen outside, because there's always something for you to fill in and to sign and who knows what. So there you go, the doctor comes into the nurse's station, he's behind the glass, and he wants to write, and he looks around, no pen around. But there's a pen outside the glass. Now, he can't stick his hand out, his hand's too big, but the pen fits through the hole. So what would you do in such a case? Even though it's muktzah, but you now need this muktzah for the goy to write with, then it's muktzah for the yid to take the pen and give it to the doctor. Another interesting example of a Amir al-Akam that is permissible, if you have a clock that's stopped and you don't have any other way to tell the time, and it's important for the choler to know the time. For example, he needs to have a regimen of treatment or medication, and he needs to know the time in order to keep up this regimen that the doctor has required, or take the medicine at the appropriate time. So therefore it's important to know the time, and the only clock available, the battery has died, or it's stopped, or it's set wrong, or something like that, you can get a goy to change the battery, or reset the time, or adjust it accordingly. We can get a goy to cook. We discussed this about chole she'yesh bo sakana, zichri can cook even for chole she'ein bo sakana, since we allow amir la'akam even in deraisis. So a goy can even cook, even though the issur of cooking is the issur deraisa, but for the sake of a chole, the goy may cook. We can do an amir and ask him to cook for the goy. the food, according to a lot of opinions, is considered as bishul akum. The patient may eat from such food, but the leftover food, there's a machlokas whether you can eat it or not. Ask your local Orthodox rabbi for a psak. Rabbi doesn't, he just brings to opinions, he doesn't, it's not machriya. And the same thing would be like with the kalim that he cooked in, whether they need to be kashered or not, because if you hold that the food is asur, then the kalim of balua with asur food, and therefore the kalim need to be kashered after Shabbos. But one thing we know for sure, and that is that a healthy Jew may not partake of the food that the goy has prepared for the chole, because we have a gzeira shemayarbe. If a healthy Jew eats from this food, so next time we might say, well, let's get the goy to cook a double portion so that he can not only cook for the patient, but he can cook for the other people around. And that will be also because you're not allowed to ask him to cook more than necessary. When he cooks, he doesn't have to cook the exact amount, and there's bound to be leftover. But that doesn't make it mutter to eat those leftovers, because we're worried about the future, that you might come to encourage him to cook more than necessary, and that would be a problem. Now, also another problem is that the food that's cooked is considered mukhtar. It has changed states from what it was beforehand, and therefore, again, a healthy Jew should not partake of this food, not on Shabbos, because of Shemo Yarbe, because of mukhtar, and after Shabbos should ask the Shaila Lagabe Bisholakum. A Jewish doctor who is on call or gets a call and needs to travel to a place where a Chole She'ein bo Sakana is, whether that means he's going to work in a hospital, or whether it means he's been summoned to the bedside of a chole and he is unable to walk and get there by by means that won't be over on any Isur Shabbos, because if he walks, either it's just too far to get there by foot, or it's far enough that it will take too long, and therefore he won't be able to get there. So then he is allowed to use the services of a goy to get him to his destination. That would mean either a goy should drive, a goy should taxi, or even to take public transport. He can get on a bus and go to the hospital or the patient or wherever he needs to get to by public transport if the driver of the bus is a goy. That would be a problem in a town where, unfortunately, there are Mechallel Shabbos who might be driving some public transport vehicle that wouldn't be an answer for a doctor to get onto such a mode of transport. But if he knows that it's going that are driving it, then he may get onto the transport. Novit points out something interesting. It says it's advisable that a doctor who's in such a position should do something so that the onlookers can understand why he's getting on a bus, because if you see a doctor who's wearing a Shabbos suit and a Shabbos hat and a Shabbos tie and he has a beard and he has payas and he just looks the part of a frum yid and he gets on the bus, even though the bus says it's the number 24 and it's going to XYZ hospital, nevertheless, it's kedai for him to take this into account, how people will look at him, and therefore he should not go in his regular Shabbos suit. Perhaps what he should do is put on his doctor's overall for his journey. You're going to tell me he's going to get germs and dirty, so have a spare one that he uses for travel, and then when he gets to the hospital, change into a fresh clean one. But if he wears something that makes it clear to the public that he is a doctor and that's why he's traveling, that would be preferable way of behaving in order not to cause confusion and misunderstanding of why he's traveling on Shabbos. That's why if he had a Goyish driver and it was noticeable that he's the from passenger, you know, if there's a way he can make it noticeable to the public that he's a doctor, or this journey is done for the sake of medicine, it's in a Hatzalah car or something like that, in an ambulance or in a van that says on it, under the services of this hospital, which is what, as far as I know, what the hospitals do for the staff that needs to come in on Shabbos. They send a tender with a Goyish driver to pick up the staff and take them to the hospital. Usually there's a sign in the windowsill, in the windscreen, that will say that this tender is now under the services of XYZ Hospital. So then people know, oh, that's the van that's picking up the nurses and taking them to the hospital for Shabbos. What about payment? So we say that if number one, if he can negotiate that he doesn't have to pay on Shabbos, pay before, pay afterwards, that obviously is the best. So he gets on without having to need a Rav cover ticket or money, and he will take care of it at a different time. If that's not an option, they don't allow it, he can't do it, he hasn't prepared it, or whatever the case may be, so then it depends on whether there's an Eruv or not. If there's an Eruv, so there's no problem of carrying, it's just a problem of dealing with the payment, so he may take means of payment. Again, he's going to treat at least a Chodesh Ein Bo Sakana, and therefore he can do the Rabbonons. So paying is a Rabbonon, or swiping a card, or swiping a card might be a little bit more problematic, we'll get that in a moment, or having giving the card a bus ticket to the bus driver. If he then punches a hole in it, that's his issue, not yours. And therefore, so too with the Rav Kav, the best would be to give it to the driver, and he would then swipe it on the card, because if it prints out a receipt, that would be a problem of Ksiva, that could be a Daraisa, that he wouldn't be allowed to do. And therefore, if he has to, he cannot pay before or after, they haven't given him this option, it's not available to him. So he can take with money, or a bus ticket, or a Rav Kav, but he has to be careful what he does with it. Second of all, he may not take it back. He gives it to the driver offers him back, he may not take it because it's no longer necessary to have this money card or bus ticket with him for what he's going for. Unless he needs, we'll see, that the same way the doctor can travel to the hospital on Shabbos when he's finished doing the treatment and he wants to go home, if he's needed as a doctor where he lives, then he may travel home as well, and then he would need the change, the the bus ticket back or the RAF card or whatever he needed for the return journey. But if he's not needed for a return journey, then he cannot take it. So he's got to leave his RAF card with the driver. If he has a goy who's traveling at the same time and he can ask the goy to pay on his behalf, or the goy should swipe the card on his behalf or something like that, that obviously would be much better. We're talking about where there's no option to get a goy to do the payment or the swiping or the carrying of the card for him, and how would he do it on his own? So he can take it, but he can take these items with him in order to enable him to get on the bus and travel to his destination, but he may not take them back when he's finished with them because he does not need them anymore. So too, even though this might be a deductible expense when he writes up his income and expense, but he cannot ask for a receipt that is not part of the treatment for the choile. It's just a monetary issue, and monetary issues you can't do even derabonans to save a few pennies, or even a lot of pennies. You can't do derabonans to save money. The bottom line over here actually is these are all guidelines. The bottom line is that someone who's in the medical field, and these are shaylos that come up on a regular basis, should get clear guidance from a rav, should go speak to a rav and get clear guidance where and how he's to act in the scenarios. If there's no Eruv, then he can't carry anything with him, and therefore he has to organize it. If he lives in a place where there's no Eruv and he's going to have to go out, he has to organize that he has a goy who can do the carrying for him. And as we said very often, when you get a goy to do carrying for you on Shabbos, you must remember to let the goy pick up the item in your house, and when you're at your destination, the goy puts it down. Don't put it into his hands and don't take it from him. Let him do the picking up and let him do the putting down. This would apply to either the bus fare or to even the doctor tools that he needs to treat his patients. And whatever is needed, you get the goy to do the transferring and the carrying of these items. If the doctor feels they're going to need these items again later in the day, again, he can get a goy to bring them back from the hospital back to his house. So that is basically Amir Le'akum when you're dealing with a choile she'en bo sakana. Again, we've said that telling the goy to do something, you can tell him even to do something which is an issa d'oraisa. Like we said, you can get him to cook for a choile, you can get him to warm up hot water, you can get him to turn on the heat, you can make a fire. All those things are issa d'oraisa, but the patient in question is a patient that is a choile she'en bo sakana, which we said it is debilitating illness that he has to lie down for. It's really, or the pain is across his whole body, or he's got a sakonas aver. Then you can get a goy to do even a d'oraisa for him. But the next level that we go down to is a mixed choile, someone who has localized pain or is ill, but it doesn't, not to the extent that he is bedridden from it. So what should he do? What may he do? So legabe his own, for a year to do treatment for him, all treatment is out. You're not allowed to do refuah on Shabbos for someone who is less sick, less than a choile she'en bo sakana, meaning you have toothache, you can't take, and it's localized, it's not spreading. The pain doesn't radiate into the whole body. You cannot take an achamol. You cannot put cream on it without rubbing it in, because these are all isurei refuah. Even without getting to doraisus, as a drabonon, you can't do refuah. So you can't put a medicated bandage onto a wound or something like that, because that's all refuah. However, even though a yid can't do anything that constitutes refuah, but you can get a goy to do something where the isur is only an isur drabonon. So you can't get a goy to warm up warm water for someone who has a toothache, but you can get a goy to put a medicated bandage on. You can't get him to smear the cream onto the bandage, but you can ask him to apply it. If he then goes on his own and smears it in, That's his issue. You tell him, put the cream on and put the bandage onto the wound, something which you may not do, but he may do, and he decides to smear it in. That's not your issue. That's mutter. So another example would be someone who has a bad cold and he has a very irritating running nose that's driving him nuts, to the extent that normally he would take nasal drops in order to dry his nose out. So he cannot apply these nasal drops on Shabbos because, as you said, this is an irritant. This is a mikdash choile. He's not a choile she'en bo sakana. It's not affecting the way that he has to lie down from this sport, so it's radiating across the body. But you can get a goy to put the nasal spray into his nose because it's a ma'aser refuah, which is a derabbanan. You can get a goy to do it for him on Shabbos. When it comes to treatment of wounds, so first we've got to classify it. Obviously, if it's a sakonas nefashos wound, very open, very deep, whatever, then you get immediate medical help and do whatever is necessary, even drabanons. If it is not a, if it's a little bit not as serious, but it's still sakanas eva, or it's painful to the extent that it affects him all over, then it would be a cholishen b'sakana, and you can do drabanons. If it's a superficial wound and it's localized, so then we say that that again, since it's localized, you can't do anything that would be refuah. You could put a bandage on it, but you can't put a medicated bandage on it. You can clean it. We discussed previously how to clean it, whether you use liquid cleaner, right? Not to put the liquid onto it, cotton wool, etc., not to get to schita. But you can get a goy to deal with the wound and clean it out, as long as you're not asking to dioresis. If you have a bandage that you want to apply and the bandage is too big, so before we said that you may not cut the bandage to size because that would be a problem of mechatech, but if for whatever reason you have a goy, so again, not fat, sorry, that was wrong. If you have a goy and you have a bandage that's too big, you can't ask the goy to cut it because mechatech is an isidoresis, so you can't ask the goy to cut it to size. So you'd have to ask him to use the whole bandage that's too big and tie it on. Can he tie it with a double knot? So again, if it's a double knot that's going to be permanent, not that he's putting on a permanent bandage onto a person and never taking it off, but lu yitzur would be that type of case where you knot it, and when you remove it, you don't undo the knot, you just slide it off the person and throw it into the garbage with that knot. That would be a kesher shechayama, that might be a problem of a kesher that is a daraisa. But if it's tied in a way that it's going to be taken off again, so that makes a kesher she'eino shekayama. So even a double knot, but a double knot that you intend an opening, so then you can get a goy to do such a double knot in Shabbos, because that's for sure not a deraisa, that's only a drabonon, to make a double knot that intends to be open. Could be even something, oh, that's mutter such a double knot, if that's the way it was made, in order to be opened up immediately, then even a yid could make such a knot. Some other categories of illness to do that in, and how we deal with them in the Gavri Amir Le'akum. One of them would be a yoledes, a woman who's just given birth. So we've said that a yoledes gets the din of a chole sheyesh b'sakana, and everything can be done for her. But because we said this is a natural process and comes frequently, so Chazal were machmir on how we deal with a yoledes, and we try when possible, as long as it doesn't compromise any of the treatment, to either do aledei shinu or aledei goy. But when the goy doesn't have to do aledei shinu, and you may ask a goy to do whatever's necessary, even daraisas, because she is, after all, a chodesh yesh b'sakana. So even a chodesh yesh b'sakana, you can go to do daraisas, because she came with chodesh yesh b'sakana. It's just that for us as a Jew, we try to minimize, in the case of a yoledes, how and what we do. Obviously, we never compromise on the quality of her treatment. The lettuce, we said, we a woman who gave birth, we set it up into times. The first 72 hours, the first week, in both cases, she's considered a chalish yesh v'sakhana. The question is whether how we treat her requests and standard procedures. And then we said after the 7 days are over, from the 8th day till the 30th day, she's automatically considered a chalish yesh v'sakhana. And after that, then it depends on the situation. After 30 days, generally she goes back to be considered legabe Shabbos as healthy, unless obviously there were some complications. For example, a woman has C-section, then it depends on the doctor deciding what her stages are. There's no standard guidance. So on a normal standard birth, the standard guideline is 3 days, 7 days, 30 days, and then legabe the birth, she's considered healthy again. So from day 8 to day 30, where we call the Chodesh Yesh B'Sakana, that means that she can ask a goy to do anything that's necessary for her situation, because she is a Chodesh Yesh B'Sakana. And another case to discuss is a child. We've said above that children are considered as more sensitive from a health perspective, and therefore Chazal said that young children are automatically considered as a Chodesh Yesh B'Sakana. And therefore, all medical procedures that are derabanan can be done for young children, and also amir la'akum can also be done. So if you have a case where the lights went off and a child is afraid, so in order to calm the child down, you want to get the lights on again, for a yid to turn it on would be also, because that's an isud daraisa. going to many poskim, without getting into the discussions of what type of lights and electricity and all this, that we treat it as a daraisa, and therefore you can't turn on the lights. Although we do say that if a child is locked in a room, then you can break the door down and even do daraisas, because there we say that a child who's locked in, the fear can be so great that it could lead to a matzav of sakonas nefashos. So therefore we have to take a child's anxiety into account, and sometimes, as I said, in the case where he's locked in, it could even be sakonas nefashos. But generally the anxiety of a child is not sakonas nefashos. And now the question is, how do we deal with it? So we deal with his anxiety in this as a chole she'ein bo sakana, therefore mir la'akum can be done. And if the goy can come and help us out and turn on the light or turn off a light or somehow make him feel better, then you can get a goy to do it, even if there is an isur daraisa involved, because you can tell a goy to do a daraisa for a chole she'ein bo sakana, which is how we have defined a cotton. And as we said above, legabe the heating, we treat ketanim on a different level than a regular person, because they are more sensitive and therefore they need it earlier. They don't wait till it is freezing cold. Before that, if it affects the children, they're going to turn on the heating. And that's approximately all that there is in relation to getting a goy to do melachos for the sake of a choyle and the different categories. And with that, we finish that chapter, and next week we'll start. So wishing you a wonderful week.